but the rattling, the simulated heat, the darkness and the vipers. They comfort me so much that I wrap my old scarlet rag around my head. More food comes. Augustus was all talk, gob full of exaggerations. This is their version of hardship. I feel guilty as I fall asleep with a full stomach, clutching the locket with Io's flower inside. My family will go to bed hungry tonight. I whisper her name. I take the wedding band from my pocket and kiss it. Feel the ache. They stole her. But she let them. She left me. She left me tears and pain and longing. She left me to give me anger. And I cannot help but hate her for a moment, even though beyond that moment, there's only love. Io, I whisper. And the locket closes. Chapter 19. The Passage. I vomit as I wake. A second fist strikes my full stomach, then a third. I'm empty and gasping for air. Drowning in my sick, coughing, hacking, I try to scramble away. A man's hand grabs me by the hair and throws me into the wall. God, he's bloody strong. And he's got extra fingers. I reach for my knife ring, but they've already dragged me into the hall. I've never been so manhandled. Even my new body can't recover from their strikes. There's four of them in black. Crows. The killers. They've discovered me. They know what I am. It's over. All over. Their faces are expressionless skulls. Masks. I pull the knife I took from dinner from my waist, and I'm about to stab one of them in the groin. Then I see the flash of gold on their wrists, and they hit me till I drop the knife. It's a test. Their strikes against a higher colour are sanctioned by the issuer of the bracelets. They haven't found me out at all. A test. That is what this is. It is a test. They could have used stunners. There's a purpose to the beating. It's something most Gauls have never experienced, so I wait. I curl up and let them beat me. When I don't resist, they think they've done their job. They sort of do. I'm ragged shit by the time they're satisfied. I'm dragged through the hallway by men nearly 3 meters tall. A bag is shoved over my head. They're staying away from technology to scare me. I wonder how many of these kids have felt physical force like this. How many have been so dehumanized? The bag smells like death and piss as they drag me along. I start laughing. It's like my bloody damn fry suit. Then a fist hits my chest and I crumple, gasping. The hood also has a sound device installed. I'm not breathing hard, but my breaths come back louder than they should. There are over 1,000 students. Dozens at a time must suffer this same fate. Yet I hear nothing. They don't want me to hear the others. I'm supposed to think I'm alone, that my colour means nothing. Surprisingly, I find myself offended that they dare strike me. Don't they know I'm a bloody damn gold? Then I snort back a laugh. Effective tricks. I'm lifted up and thrown hard onto a floor. I feel a vibration, the smell of exhaust. Soon, we're in the air. Something in the bag covering my head disorients me. I can't tell which direction we're flying, how high we've risen. The sound of my own raspy breath has become terrible. I think the bag also filters out oxygen because I'm hyperventilating. Still, it's not worse than a fry suit. Later. An hour? Two? We land. They drag me by my heels. My head bumps on stone, jarring me. It's not till much later that they take the bag off my head in a barren stone room lit by a single light. Another person is already here. The crows strip away my clothing, rip away the precious Pegasus pendant. They leave. Cold in here, Julian. I chuckle as I stand, unclenching my left hand from the dirty red Helldiver's sweatband. My voice echoes. We're both naked. I fake a limp with my right leg. I know what this is.
Darrow, is that you? Julian asks. Are you well?
I'm prime. They busted up my right leg, though. I lie. He stands, too, pushing himself up with his left hand. That's his dominant one. He looks tall and feeble in the light, like bent hay. I caught more kicks and punches than him, though. Loads more. My ribs might be cracked.
What do you think this is?
He asks. The passage, obviously.
But they lied. They said it would be tomorrow.
The thick wooden door squeals on rusted hinges, and Proctor Fitchner saunters in, popping a bubblegum.
Proctor? Sir, you lied to us!
Julian protests. He pushes his pretty hair back out of his eyes. Fitchner's movement is sluggish, but his eyes are like a cat's. Lying takes too much effort, he grunts idly.
Well, how dare you treat us like this? Julian snaps. You must know who my father is, and my mother is a legate. I can have you up on charges for assault in a moment's notice. And you hurt Darrow's leg.
It's 1 AM, dipshit. It's tomorrow. Fitchner pops another bubblegum. There are also two of you. Alas, only one spot is available in your class. He tosses a golden ring, emblazoned with the Wolf of Mars and a star shield of the Institute, onto the dirty stone ground. I could make it ambiguous, but you look like rusty-headed lads. Only one comes out alive. He leaves the way he came. The door squeals, and then slams shut. Julian flinches at the sound. I do not. We both stare at the ring, and I have a sick feeling in my gut that I'm the only one in the room who knows what just happened.
What do they think they're doing? Julian asks me. Do they expect us to?